From pop songs to old sayings to statistics, words about money are a dime a dozen. But is there a better place to turn for truth about handling our money and time and talents? The time-tested wisdom of the Bible invites us to a radical shift in perspective. We aren't owners, we're stewards, called to wisely manage the gifts and resources God entrusts to us, because He's the real source of everything we have and all we are. And if God is the source, then His Word is the one that we can count on.
It was 1981 when the creative genius that is the Canadian rock band Loverboy stated their belief that everybody's working for the... Do you think that's true? Be just 5 years later when the Bengals were lamenting just another manic Monday, wishing it was Sunday because that was her fun day. Certainly might not apply to you, but for a lot of people in our culture, young and old, there is a disdain for what happens between Monday and Friday. And because that's when a lot of us work. And it's the weekend that they really look forward to, the weekend being their reward and their relief for having worked so hard. But you know, the Bible presents a very different picture of work. In Genesis chapter 2, before, just to get the timeline right, before sin ever entered the world, you know that God set man in the garden, don't gasp right here, to work it and keep it. We were not created for the weekend. We were created to be productive and to provide. The weekend isn't the reward for the labor, but rather it affords us the rest to be able to go out and do it. We were created to work. Now, admittedly, when sin did enter the world, well, work got a whole lot more tougher, didn't it? We're in a series that we've called The Wise Steward, looking at your money, your time, and your talent. And it began a couple weeks ago with the wise steward is somebody who recognizes that wisdom begins with God, and that only God's wisdom, only God's way truly satisfies, but God doesn't force us on a path that wisdom, this stuff is a choice. We get to opt in to God's way. Last week, we saw that the wise steward understands that their desires are part of the problem, and that the availability of this easy credit allows them to kind of short-circuit wisdom and just get what they want when they want it, but the wise steward knows the answer too and wants to focus on those things that matter most. And quite often, those are not things that you can buy. Today, we see that the wise steward provides for themselves and for others, but more than just provision, how you and I do that matters to God. There's a wise way to earn, and there's something else. And obviously, a topic like work, crowd favorite. It has such a wide spectrum, doesn't it? Because there's some of you who desperately want to work and you don't have a job right now. And all the way across the others of us who have a job, we just don't work when we're there. There really can be something for everybody, and we would just like for you to hear what God has to say on the subject and to listen. And indeed, that's all we want from you for this series. And if you've been with us, you know that toward that end, we haven't been collecting an offering in the service. A lot of times people equate the church talking about it with wanting it. And just to kind of show that our heart is for you to hear what God has to say, our ushers instead just collect offering at the end of the service as people exit, for those who that's their regular routine. But if you're visiting, if you're a guest, if you're new, we think it would be far more important for you just to hear this. No strings attached. And we wonder what God might want to say to you. There's much to learn, and God has spoken a lot about it. So let's pray, and we'll begin. Heavenly Father, it is such an honor to be able to be participants in this job you've assigned us, to work, to keep, to be productive and to provide, that you have invited us into this wonderful relationship with you and your creation. God, you know it's difficult because you know there are people who want to provide and they're just having a hard time finding work. I pray that you would encourage them this day, and I pray, God, that you would give them that opportunity soon. Others of us, God, though, we have this opportunity and we have jobs. It's just that we're not, we just don't do very good at them. I pray that you would use this, that we would be a light to the world, not just in what we say about the gospel, but in how we behave and how we labor. And others still, Father, have taken this subject and they've gone so way overboard, and their job is their life and there's nothing else. I pray that you would take what we learn, and I pray that you would challenge us, encourage us, convict us, do the thing that your Spirit does that we can't manufacture in and of ourselves, Lord. And so meet with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you have a Bible, turn to Proverbs chapter 10. This is going to be sort of the anchor passage we'll keep coming back to throughout the day here. The first thing is this: the wise steward provides for themselves and others. Proverbs 10, verse 1, it begins, "The Proverbs of Solomon," he's the author, and says, "A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother. Treasures gained by wickedness do not profit, but righteousness delivers from death. The Lord does not let the righteous go hungry, but he thwarts the craving of the wicked. A slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. He who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame." Obviously, there is an expectation of provision, that this son, in this case, is going to do certain things and is going to provide, but more than just the provision, there's a lot of energy about how he does it. How we provide for ourselves and our families matters in the sight of God. And we're going to see that it requires wisdom, it requires integrity, faithfulness, effort, and discipline. And this is a deal. You know, 1 Timothy 5:8, Paul is writing to that young pastor. And they had this situation in their church where there were people who were in need, and then people in that family that had means but were not helping their brothers and sisters in their own family. And Paul writes to them, "If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Paul's like, if there's like somebody who's got what the world needs, and their own like sibling or their mother or someone in their family is in need, and they're not wanting to help them, it's like a giant game of connect the dots. And Paul's like, you've missed one. You've gone from 7 to 14. There's a whole section there. You don't even know the gospel. This provision thing, it's not just about the weekend. This is a spiritual issue. And it's one that the Bible thinks, though, that all of us can grasp. If you just go a couple pages to the left in Proverbs, to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6. Check this out. Go to the ant. Can you picture an ant in your mind? Okay, got that? Go to the ant, oh, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, oh sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber and want like an armed man. The point being, the ant is not known as an intellectual giant. But the ant, the little miniature ant, gets this. The ant goes about its business providing for itself. The sluggard, you're going to find yourself in the car driving home just saying sluggard. It's a good word to say. The sluggard doesn't get it. And if you just want to chuckle this week, go the internets and like just get like to the Bible program or site of your choice. And just search sluggard in the book of Proverbs. Because there is some, you don't want to be one, I'll tell you that. But it's good to laugh at them. Because the Bible doesn't have a lot of good things to say about the sluggard. Just in Proverbs 26 alone, it talks about how the sluggard's a person that's always making excuses. So like sluggard's mom is like, you know, Jimmy, it's time to go to work. And the sluggard's like, oh, there's a lion outside. I should wait till the lion leaves. And like mom's like, there's no lion. You're just making excuses. Yeah. The sluggard is lazy. It compares him to like a door on a hinge that just goes back and forth, but kind of like that's the sluggard in bed. Yes, roll this way. I get cozy, roll back this way. And the sluggard's pathetic. It talks about the sluggard, Solomon was just smart, right? He comes up with this stuff. He goes, the sluggard buries his hand in the dish for some food. It's just so far away. Can't even bring it back to his mouth. The Bible does not paint a flattering picture of the sluggard yet. Solomon says, what makes it hard is the sluggard is wiser in his own eyes than seven guys that are talking sensibly. So they're like, dude, there's no lion. And he's like, you're crazy. Dude, you just got to get out of bed. You don't know what you're talking about. Just bring your hand back to your mouth and chew. You don't get it. And so it's not flattering. And so I don't mean it mean, but don't you think? Isn't there a little bit of sluggard in all of us? Our hearts lie to ourselves. They're deceptive. They tell us things, and it's not always true, is it? And our culture doesn't help us with this. There's this movement to like, I need more me time. I need more downtime. I need more balance in my life. No, some of us, we just need to get to work. Because we were created for that. To be productive. To produce. But how we do that matters. And so back at Proverbs chapter 10, we see the first kind of hallmark. Biblical provision requires wisdom. Proverbs 10, the second half of verse 1, right? A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is a sorrow to his mother. Now, this is not simply, you know, remember it's a different culture. So this isn't like just mom and dad want to be proud and brag about what their son is doing, like down at the club on a Tuesday afternoon. This is a completely different culture where land, remember, land was passed down, and who was responsible for the family business? The eldest son. So the land went to the eldest son to manage the family biz, and who else was the eldest son responsible for? Mom and dad. So there's no 401ks, there's no retirement, there's no Social Security. It all rested on who? The son. If he took the family business and tanked it, mama's sad. Not because she's not proud of her kid, but because she's hungry. But when the son is wise and the business is rocking, dad's proud because he's got a full belly. Proverbs 24, 3 and 4, and we're going to keep reading these. You can check to it if you want, or just make note of the reference. It says, by wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it's established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all pleasant and precious riches. If you want to build your house, your home, your family, if you want to build your family, your life, and have the rooms filled with good stuff, it requires wisdom. What you do and where you do it requires wisdom. You think about sometimes those challenges. Let's say you have a decent job, your kids are settled, your spouse is happy, but then you get an offer out of state, more money, and maybe more room for advancement. Many of you have been in that spot. Which is right? Both have merit, don't they? It's not worth the money if my kids are going to hate it, and they're really happy now. Mind you, I'm hoping these kids grow up and move away sometime, and this might be good for my career after they're gone. It requires wisdom to make that kind of decision. Do you have anybody in your life, not in your industry, but people who know Christ who can speak wisdom to you on those matters? It was so heartwarming. In our community group, we've got a couple that's new, just in town, like 3 months. And they talked about one of the big drags for them was leaving their old church and their old community group. But it was in praying with their pastor back there that they felt like we should make the move. It wasn't just a flip of the coin. It wasn't just what felt right. They sought some guidance. Do you do that? Proverbs 13:18 says that poverty and disgrace comes to him who ignores instruction. But whoever heeds reproof is honored. Biblical provision requires wisdom. Because not everything's presented black and white, is it? There's pros and cons. Which is best? Providing biblically and being successful, you need wisdom. But secondly, biblical provision requires integrity. Look at verse 2. Treasures gained by wickedness do not profit, but righteousness delivers from death. When it comes to provision, the ends never justify the means, right? And it's like Solomon's being all sort of postmodern because he's talking about treasures gained through wickedness. So you have the treasure, he's saying, but he's like, it doesn't profit. You might actually get the thing, but in the long run, it doesn't work out for you. How we get what we have matters. Proverbs 22:10 says, unequal weights and measures are both alike an abomination to the Lord. When they used to cheat and have the fake weight, so they're measuring out the wheat, and they're like, well, that's what you get. That's it. I just measured it, but they were cheating the customer. God didn't like that. So when we cheat people, when we lie on our taxes, When we take from our employer, God is not a fan of that. We need integrity. The flip side of it is, but righteousness delivers from death. And these are actually related. When we say it, righteousness, so if I live the right way, I spare myself death. But he's meaning, as you read the Proverbs, the righteous life, it's absolutely linked with generosity. There's no category for somebody who is righteous but stingy. You're like, I'm very, very righteous, but I just am very stingy. No, you're not righteous. No, I really am. No, actually, you're not. So what Solomon's saying, if you cheat people to get stuff, it actually isn't going to be a win. But if you're generous with people, if you're honest and fair with people, that's what delivers. Where this gets a little heady, right, is how you treat your customers, how you treat your employees, how you treat your bosses, how you treat your peers, even in your secular workplace, matters to God. And you may be able to do yourself a solid. Remember when we used to have water coolers before we just carried our own bottles? And you'd be able to just talk. You ever shared with a boss or like a peer and just be like, oh yeah, I'm just really concerned for them. I mean, he's been making so many mistakes. You know, the things that we can kind of drop and we're always good at dropping the things that help us climb that corporate ladder. And so we might be able to cozy up to the boss. We may be able to push someone else down and elevate our stock. And God's like, but you're not going to profit. You might gain, but you won't win. Because God sees it. And I know the temptation is to think, you know what, Pastor? With all due respect, you're just a little naive. I mean, you work at a church. Okay? The world is a little different. Everybody cuts some corners here and there. It's how the system works. And I want to tell you, the pastor's not naive. The world is short-sighted. No question that people can get ahead by deceitful means. They do it all the time. The point is, in the long run, they don't win by doing that because God sees it all. It may work. It may work, but it's never worth it. You may be providing for your family, but are you providing for your family biblically and with integrity? You know, it's no secret. We haven't done a good job hiding that we're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper today. Do you need to have a moment where you confess something? Like, I'm really aware of what month it is, but you need to call an accountant and you need to say, we're going to refile last year's taxes, even though they went through and no one asked a question, because I lied. No one's going to know, man. Just don't worry about it. Actually, someone does. Have you stepped on somebody to get up? Do you need to go and say you're sorry? This stuff matters. Biblical provision requires wisdom. It requires integrity. And here's the next one. It requires faithfulness. Verse 3 says, the Lord does not let the righteous go hungry, but he thwarts the craving of the wicked. This is what Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 6. Remember, he was like, why are you worried about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, what you're going to wear? He's like, people who don't know God worry about that. But your heavenly Father knows that you need him. So what are we to do? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He's like, you seek me. You seek the life I've called you to, and I'm gonna hook you up with the stuff that you need to live. Now, this is where, like, coming to church week after week helps, because the first 2 weeks we've been in this, we've unpacked that there's a difference between what we want and what we need. And what we think we need might be different than what God thinks we need. This is for daily sustenance. We have a lot more than that. And make no mistake, biblical provision is a step of faith. You're trusting that if I do the things he's called me to, he is going to do the thing he says he will. Some of you work way too much because you're like, I don't have time for the other stuff because this has to rock, and you never stop. You never do anything other than that. It's a step of faith to not work so hard. Because while God's called you to be productive and to provide, he didn't call you just for that, did he? Called you to be engaged in your family. Called you to be in the community of believers. Called to be generous. Called to serve. And if you're like, I don't have time for that, you miss some dots. We're to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And the thing is, even if you try to do it your own way, be warned about the second part. He thwarts the craving of the wicked. He's able to get in the middle of your thing, and it doesn't work. Proverbs 20, verse 17, bread gained by deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth will be full of gravel. You ever felt that? Everybody in the office is celebrating because the deal got closed and you got the win, but you know what you did to get it, and it doesn't feel good. You took the money because you knew they didn't count right, but you didn't tell them they didn't count right, and they walk away and you have more score, but you don't feel good. It's because God's like, no. That's not how it works. It's not worth it. God holds all the cards. I wonder, you know, we're in week three, one more week. I wonder if some of you are actually going to try this biblical worldview of what to do with my money, what to do with my time, what to do with my talent, to really think about where you are and what the Bible calls you to. And I want some of you to try this thing, and I want you to give it a year. I'm hoping that hundreds of us, October 1, are going to start down a different path and operate in a different way. And I'm telling you, 1 year from now, you're all going to say, worth it, if you try. And you're like, how do you know? Because he tells us. Because his thing is actually the best thing. And it's a step of faith. Biblical provision is faithfulness. It's not always easy. And I got you to commit before we did this one. Biblical provision requires effort. Verse 4 says, a slack hand causes poverty, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. You're going to have to work. You know, Proverbs 14:4 says, where there are no oxen, the manger is clean, but abundant crops come by the strength of the ox. If there's no oxen, you're not shoveling anything. The manger's clean. There's no mess to clean up. But your crops are really lame because you actually need the oxen to make that thing work. There is no way around it. Biblical provision is often hard work because it's not just difficult. It's also, we got this sin thing in the world, which complicates and makes more difficult. Are you a hard worker? Do your coworkers think you're a hard worker? Biblical provision requires effort. But the win is, though, that the hand of the diligent makes rich. And this is sort of the world counterpoint here. The Bible's not about ever a quick, rich scheme. Gambling, not going to work. A lottery, not A+. That little banner ad that you could work from 2 hours from home and make $7,000. Just put it aside. The Bible never sells that. It's diligence over time, making wise decision, exerting constant effort that wins. Proverbs 21:5 says, the plans of the diligent lead surely to abundance, but everyone who is hasty comes only to poverty. If you just take those two alone, that's pretty stark, right? If there's the diligent and there's the hasty, which are you more like? With us last week, we sort of unpack that easy credit really works against us trying to be diligent. And that's where our thing gets all the more complex, because many of us are actually hard workers doing things right in the places of our employment. But because we're hasty, it doesn't seem to work. And so then you hear the pastor talking about, you're like, I'm already working very hard. Your issue is not a work one, perhaps, it's a haste one. And make no mistake, being patient takes a lot of effort. It isn't easy at all. Effort means working and waiting every day, repeat. That's hard. Do you need to do one or the other? Some of you, I bet you know right now, you know that you go to work, but you know you don't do much work there. And you could radically change your testimony for the gospel of Jesus Christ by stepping up your game. Others of you could feel a lot better about your life by doing something less, just not being hasty, slowing down the buying, slowing down the getting, saving up for something. Do you need to do one of those too? Here's the last one. Biblical provision requires discipline. Verse 5 says, he who gathers in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame. There are times when things need to get done, and the wise steward knows what they are and does them. Whatever you do, whether you think it's menial or whether you think you're at the top of your game, we're all called to be skillful in our places of work, whether you're just working at home, whether you are the CEO of the best of the best. Proverbs 22:29 says, do you see a man skillful in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before obscure men. We are called to be students of our jobs and always learn and want to be better at it, because that can be a pretty impressive testimony to a world that doesn't think that way. But you also need to know, because you're skillful in your work, you know what matters, you know what has to happen. And so there are times when you just get it done. Proverbs 24:27 says, prepare your work outside, get everything ready for yourself in the field, and after that, go build your house. The idea that there's some dude that goes and he builds his house, got it all set, spends a bunch of time and money, brings in the family, they sitting there, get down for the first dinner. Little Jimmy's like, what do we have to eat? And Dad's like, there's nothing. But his house is great. Solomon's like, no. Go out in the field, put the family in a tent, get the field rocking, get the crops growing, get the cash flow coming. Then build your house. It's not just a matter of working hard. It's working on the things we know that are timely. Do you have stuff that you know you avoid because you don't like it, but you actually should be doing it? It takes discipline to get that done, doesn't it? One of the greatest parts for my personality in my job is Saturday at 6 o'clock. Because it doesn't really matter what's happened in the week. Like 40 weekends a year, I'm going to stand here and preach. And I don't mean this mean about you, like you're all very gracious, but I can't imagine really getting up and saying, okay, so here's the thing. This week was crazy. So we're just going to have the band come up and do some more songs. And you wouldn't be being mean, you'd just be like, was it really that busy? Why didn't, don't we kind of pay you for that? And you do. And so in our family, the preach is not something that's ever really far out of mind. Kids walk by the door, and I hear him saying, no, he's working on the preach. Go ask mom. Mom says, are you done the preach? No, not yet. Why not? What have you been doing? Go finish that preach, because 6 o'clock's coming. Now I'll tell you, love my job. But some weeks I just don't want to preach. My prayer is that you would be hard-pressed to know when those weeks are. Because I just got to get it done. We're called to know what matters and to focus on it. And sometimes that means I got to take things that are really good or really sweet offers or real areas of need in ministry that I feel I could help. And I got to say, I can't do that now, because Saturday's coming. Some of you are working very hard. You're just not working hard on the right things. You need a little bit of discipline to get after some of the tasks you avoid. We need to get this sorted out. Not just because it sends a message to the world, but also because this is the way God has set up the system. And I know when you hear this, and some people are like, I've never thought of stewardship so much in my life, and your head can start to swim a little bit when you think of all the things God calls us to. But here's the fun part when you think about provision. If your head's swimming a little bit, if you got more questions than you do answers, here's the picture that makes it all clear, crystal clear. It's Jesus. What did Jesus do for us? Jesus provided for our greatest need ever. We were dead in our sin and waiting to suffer eternal punishment separated from God. And through his death, burial, and resurrection, Jesus provided for our greatest need. And it took wisdom. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, what did he want? Hey, is there any other way? And the Father said, no. And even though Jesus wouldn't have minded like a plan B, he was like, is there something else? He, like we're called to, listened to the wisdom of his Father and went after it. And he did it with integrity. Remember, Satan tried to tempt him? Tried to say, I can give you all the things you're going for. I just got a different way. We're going to cut a couple corners, but it's going to work. And what did Jesus say? No. Absolute integrity to the mission God called him to. And with stellar faithfulness, he walked among us, surrounded by people like you and me, absolute reprobate sinners, and yet Jesus never stumbled. Complete and utter faithfulness. And you want to talk about effort. His disciples, it's never going to happen. And Jesus is like, you get behind me. And he marched with steely determination toward the cross. And you want to talk about discipline? Jesus said, I could have called 10,000 angels. I don't need you like stepping up for me. If I wanted this done, it's over. But he didn't. Because he was disciplined. Do you need to provide more biblically? Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the picture of Jesus, that example set before us, and what he was willing to endure to provide for our greatest need. I thank you that he listened to you. God, I thank you that he didn't cut corners. I thank you that he never stumbled. I thank you that he was never deterred. And I thank you he was disciplined to endure. And I pray, God, that we would be all those things. I pray that men and women in this city will see the way that we work and it will be a light to them. And I pray it will cause some of them to give praise to our Father who's in heaven. God, that might mean some real heavy lifting and we're going to have some sore backs. I pray you give us spiritual Advil, Lord. I pray we would just get after it. For others, God, we're going to have to go back and we're going to have to mend some things and the consequences could be very serious. I pray we'd do it. Because you see, and we live only for you, in the praise of your glorious name. Amen.